Your smiles indeed are appreciated, but quite honestly, I stand very much in need of your prayers this morning. I'm on the 12th day of a 14-day cold, and it's not relinquished its hold just yet. I suppose if I had gone to the doctor, it would have only lasted 2 weeks. But that's how life goes sometimes. As I sat here and waited and prayed with the rest of you for those who stand in need of our prayers, and then waited for my turn to have to stand, I have to confess to you that it would have been much easier to just take a caning than to get to my feet. One is I'm feeling quite exhausted. And the other is that I don't really want to have to deal with the subject that I'm dealing with this morning. One of the things that I was told when I was called was use examples from your life to get the message across to people. And therein lies my problem. None of us like to admit fault. But fortunately, our Savior has given us a way to deal with those things and to come back within His good graces. So if you would, turn with me to James, and perhaps you'll get a glimpse of what's on my heart. Third chapter. And I'll start with the second verse. For in many things we are offended all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, and they obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. That it defileth the whole body. And setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Well, that's just a nice and easy way to say, and Satan uses it for his tool and for his advantage. And I could stand here and give you a long list of excuses of why I might have done what I did. And I could probably convince you that I was right, you know, that I was justified, that it was proper and right. Just a few days ago, I had a responsibility to fulfill, and in the process of trying to do that, I failed miserably. And one word led to another, and ultimately someone said something to the effect, well, it's a shame you drove so far and we're already finished. And I believe they truly meant that. I had done my best, but it wasn't good enough. And in response, words came out of my mouth that weren't appropriate. You can say something in one way, and it can be taken entirely different than if you say it in another way. And so I'm going to try to demonstrate that to you here, and perhaps you all can laugh, and I'll try to. I could have said, well, it was just an hour and a half of time wasted driving. Or I could have said it another way. I could have said, that was just an hour and a half of wasted time driving. And you hear the difference. And you instantly know the difference, the effect that it has on another person. Well, the words were out of my mouth. And sound travels faster than your hand can do that. So the damage was done. And feelings were hurt. And I was embarrassed. I pondered this, and as I pondered it, I recognized that I might have made a few mistakes, and I began to, not at that moment, but later, begin to go through the scriptures and just see how many mistakes I had made. Turn to Matthew 5 with me for just one moment, please. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Don't think I create any peace amongst anybody. And if I wasn't a peacemaker, then I guess I'm not a child of God. Let's go to the third verse. Blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit could be translated as being the opposite of someone who has a high degree of self-esteem, let's say. I don't believe that was exhibited. Perhaps we might want to turn over to the 22nd verse in the same chapter. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled unto thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. As I considered those thoughts, I recognized that maybe I wasn't angry at anyone specifically, maybe myself, but that was in retrospect. And I don't know how the word raca might compared to what I had said, but I don't think there's a great deal of difference. I didn't call anybody any names, but I didn't make them feel very well either. It says, I'm in danger of the council. Well, I think quite honestly, he was kind of kind there when he said, I just endanger the council, because I believe that the other applies as well. that we're in danger of hellfire if we don't take care of these matters. And I will make my case to that point. As I browsed the scriptures, I found a few more commandments that apply. Let's go to the 12th chapter of Romans for just a moment. And incidentally, I had just a few days before spent a sizable amount of time discussing this very topic with some others and how that we ought to follow them. Let's go to the 10th verse. Be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Preferring one another can be exhibited in a number of ways. I can prefer you in the chow line by telling you to take your place in front of me. That's preferring my brother. Or perhaps I can think before I speak and consider what impact the things I will have to say will have on you as an individual. Would they prefer you or would they prefer me? Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be wise. Be not wise in your own conceits. I think that might also apply. What was my mindset? Was I a bit conceited? This one does not apply in its entirety, and so I want that to be clear, but it does in part. The 19th verse. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And maybe I'll have to take back what I said. It's true, we're not to avenge ourselves when we perceive something, even if it's not that away. And if there's wrath to be meted out or vengeance to be meted out, then it could very well come my way. And 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. It takes forethought. To overcome evil with good. It doesn't come by our natural instincts. And we could turn over to Romans in the 13th chapter for just a moment. I'm only going to read a portion of a verse there. I'll begin with, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And if I truly love my neighbor as myself, I consider, what words would he want to hear? And if I can't honestly speak them, perhaps silence is the best. You recall that I read there in Matthew in the 5th chapter that it gives us a solution to a problem that we have, or that I had. And I want to be quick to let you know that I have resolved that. I spent that first night rather sleepless. because of my shame. But I want you to know that last night was some of the best rest I've had in a long time. Let's turn to the fifth chapter, and I'll begin with the 19th verse. More of Christ's words. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You know, there's our brother Mark made a rather profound statement the other day. I believe it's couched in a poem. I'm not sure, and I'm not good at remembering the exact location of these things or where they came from. But the sentiment stuck in my mind like a like needles or a dart thrown at a dartboard. It was talking about the fact that how the, each day of our life we are to preach the Word of God to every kindred, tongue, and people. And if you must, use words. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. I can envision in my mind that there's probably someone out there saying, if that's your only problem, man, you haven't got anything to worry about at all, you know? That's a piece of cake. Which is a phrase that I have come to understand. They do not understand in Africa, even though they speak English. It's a colloquialism that's unique to the United States. Our brother Bill was driving along on some of their notorious roads, and they had gotten through a particularly difficult area, and he said, "Ha, it's a piece of cake," he told the other guy on the radio. And our sister Margaret, did not understand what "it's a piece of cake" meant. She thought she was looking around for a little nourishment, and it wasn't to be had. She learned. Apparently she's a very bright young lady. But there is a way out in these matters. And perhaps I will move on to the second chapter, Messiah. I apologize for stumbling around a bit, but my notes are not what you might expect to see. They're rather disorganized, just like me. And I'll begin with the 16th verse there and read through the 24th. King Benjamin was speaking to his people, and I know that you all have heard this scripture a number of times recently, and yet it keeps coming back, perhaps for a reason. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now if you believe these things, see that you do them. And again, I say unto you, as I have said before, that as you have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if you have known of his goodness and have tasted of his love and have received remission of your sins,
which causes such exceeding great joy in your souls. Even so I would that you should remember and always retain a remembrance of the greatness of God in your own nothingness and his goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures. And humble yourselves, even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which is spoken of by the mouth of the angels. And behold, I say unto you that if you do this, you shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sins. And you shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. He didn't specify there what sins you're to seek forgiveness for. So I have to assume it's all of them. And so if you happen to think that yours is much worse than what mine is that I'm expressing to you this day, it doesn't make any difference. It's the same process. If it involves others, you go to them, just as I read in Matthew, and you make it right. And then you bring a gift to the Lord. And you retain a remission of your sins. And you have joy again. A couple more verses I'd like to read to you, 48 and 50 in this same chapter. I should say 48 through 50. King Benjamin has spent much time here talking to them about the various ways that they need to be aware in their lives of what they're doing and how that they're to conduct themselves. And some of those obvious pitfalls that we're to stay away from. One of them was a simple one, like whatever you have borrowed, make sure you return it. Now, how much more simple can you get? And yet, sometimes I look in my garage and I see a tool there and I have no idea where it came from. I don't know who its owner is. I hope that person comes someday and says, hey, is that yours? Then I can give it to him. Unfortunately, some of those tools are 5-foot shovels and they don't fit my hand anymore. So if any of you have lost a shovel, well, come on over. And finally, I cannot tell you all the things whereby you may commit sin, for there are divers ways and means, even so many, that I cannot number them. But this much I can tell you, that if you do not watch yourselves and your thoughts and your words and your deeds, and observe to keep the commandments of God and continue in the faith of which you have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of your lives, ye must perish. And now, man, remember and perish not. Turn to Romans with me for just one moment. We are all greatly indebted to one of our forefathers in the Word. He being Paul. He wrote a great deal of the New Testament for you and I. Letters that he wrote to various congregations. In those days, they were struggling with the discrepancies, which really aren't discrepancies, between the law of Moses and the new law that God has given. The only thing that was done away with was the physical sacrifice of animals, often referred to as blood sacrifice. And the sacrifice that's required for broken heart. Contrite spirit. One that's filled with these elements that I read to you. A spirit that's willing to be a peacemaker. A spirit that's pure. One who's kindly affectionate, one towards another. One who minds not high things. One who's willing to overcome evil with good. So our forefather Paul was talking to the Romans about this very issue. The discrepancies that are within these things as they perceived them. But he told them that they were called to a higher calling, a greater responsibility. I don't want to call it a simpler walk of life. Less complicated. But maybe it takes more effort than just going out and killing a ram. And so he said this, beginning with the 12th verse. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made dead unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, and working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. You know, words that are a little bit difficult to understand, perhaps. But we become, as we understand God's word, we become more keenly aware of what is sinful. And therefore, what is sin. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. We sell ourselves so far short. I forget. I believe it's Esau who sold his birthright for just a little mess of pottage, you know, basically some green beans, of which, by the way, there's a plenty in the basement. And I want to encourage anyone who would like some to take a grocery sack or two or more full. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. For then I do that which I would not, and I consent unto the law that it is good. He makes excuses for himself. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. I know what to do, but I don't find the capacity to do it. Now if I do not that what I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find the law, then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who will deliver me? He answers that question. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law is sin. Our God is the only one who can cover it. Go back to Messiah with me for just a moment, first chapter. We'll begin with the 52nd verse there. I hate to break into the middle of a speech in a way, but this is part of King Benjamin's proclamation once again. And he said these words, beginning with the 52nd verse, and I will read down through the 61st. I say unto you, my brethren, that if you would render all the thanks and praise which your whole souls hath power to possess to that God who hath created you, and hath kept and preserved you, and hath caused that you should rejoice, and hath granted that you should live in peace one with another, I say unto you that if you should serve him who hath created you from the beginning, and art preserving you from day to day by lending you breath that you may live and move and do according to your own will, and even supporting you from one moment to another. I say, if you should serve him with all your whole soul, yet would you be unprofitable servants. No kidding. And behold, all that he requires of you is to keep his commandments. And he hath promised you that if you would keep his commandments, you should prosper in the land. And he doth never vary. Pardon me, let me read it correctly. And he never doth vary from that which he has said. Therefore, if you do keep his commandments, he doth bless you and prosper you. And now in the first place he hath created you and granted unto you your lives for which you are indebted unto him. And secondly, he doth require that you should do as he hath commanded you, for which, if you do, he doth immediately bless you, and therefore he hath paid you. And ye are still indebted unto him, and are, and will be, forever and ever. Therefore, of what have you to boast? Now I ask, can you say out of yourselves? I answer you, nay. Ye cannot say that thou art even as much as the dust of the earth. Yet thou wast created of the dust of the earth, but behold, it belongeth to him who created you. We have nothing to claim as our own. He gave it. He only asked us to use it to his honor and his glory. And for so doing, he gives you this promise that he will prosper you. I want to assure you that it was not intentional this way, but it happens. Downstairs is some of that bounty that he has provided. There's about 5 bushels of green beans sitting down there that anybody can have. Because Bonnie has told me she's canned all she's going to. She's clear up to here, way over her head in them. And there'll not be another bean canned. And nor another bean picked. You're welcome to all that's there. Enjoy them. And if somebody wants to come pick, in about a week there's going to be another picking just like that. That I may have to mow off. The Lord indeed keeps his promises. In even the smallest detail. Let me read to you from Hebrews, the 10th chapter. I'll begin with the 26th verse and read down through the 31st. If we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. This was just the way it was. If you disobeyed the law of Moses, you died. Just that simple. Of how much more sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again, the Lord shall judge his people. Perhaps you might say, well, now, what does that have to do with the things that you've been talking about? If I understand the scriptures at all, each time I commit sin, I crucify my Savior once again. And is that not equivalent to having trodden underfoot the Son of God? And I am not then, can't even hardly talk. And then am I not considered an unholy thing? And yet, in his great mercy, he provided a plan where you and I can take these things to him and ask for his forgiveness. And if it involves others, we can go to them and we can rectify it. We can do our very best to let them know how sorry we are. We can't take the words back. Like I said a while ago, they're gone at the speed of sound. And they're recorded in people's minds much faster than that even. But perhaps, if you go to them humbly, they will remember that you endeavored to erase those things with all of your might.
that he will keep his promise, and that is eternal life. God bless each one.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Take your bulletins with you. Remember the announcements for the day and also for the week. And I would especially ask the ministry, remember we're going to have a meeting Thursday evening, 7 o'clock here. And it's really important, particularly if you travel. We're going to be talking about mundane things like your vehicle insurance and how the church is covered and how you are or aren't covered by them and so forth. So it's real important. We're going to close this morning with hymn number 320. Yes, Richard.
Would still like to have prayer for Jody. I didn't have time to call her this morning, but okay.
Okay. What hospital is she in?
MCI.
MCI. Okay. That's Jody Housenick. She's in MCI.
They tried six times to get her spinal cap, and they couldn't get through her vertebra. Okay. So they've taken some biopsies, or cultures rather, and they probably won't be finished before tomorrow. They'll keep her in the hospital at all. They don't think that it's myelangitis, but they don't know what it is.
All right, let us remember Jody in our prayers. Hymn number 320. us pray. All right, just Heavenly Father, we thank you for, again, a beautiful day, a day to come to thy house to offer our praise and our thanksgiving for all the blessings that you've given us. Forgive us of our sins, O Lord. Go with us throughout this day as we dedicate it to you. Bless us in our activities. Watch over us as we meet and pray, as we talk of thy gospel, as we witness to others. Be with us as we go to our homes or other places of meeting this day. And come with us again this evening to hear thy message. O God, we are thankful. And we pray for those that are less fortunate, the sick or the afflicted, the poor in spirit. And we claim thy promise to heal them if we present them to thee. O Lord, we thank you for thy goodness and praise you in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.